This podcast is sponsored by the book, The Concept, A Critical and Honest Look at God and Religion, by Bo Bennett. Challenge your beliefs and explore faith through science and reason. Discover more at godtheconcept.com.
All right, so we're back and ready for another deep dive. Buckle up, because this one's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, it should be interesting.
This time, we're taking a look at 1 Timothy.
Okay.
But through a secular lens, right? Mm-hmm. So not from a religious angle at all.
Right.
We've got this this excerpt here from some analysis. And it's really looking at 1 Timothy through, I guess, the lens of history and culture.
I like that.
And the thing that I find so interesting about this kind of analysis is even if, you know, you're not a religious person.
Right.
You can really get a lot out of these ancient texts.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, for me, it's kind of like a
looking
through a window to a completely different time, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's like a snapshot of how people.
Like a time capsule.
Yes.
Yeah.
A time capsule. That's a great way to put it, of how people thought and lived back then.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So the first thing that this analysis kind of brings up that I found really fascinating, the whole debate about the authorship of 1 Timothy. Because a lot of scholars actually question whether Paul really wrote it.
Yeah.
And apparently back then, it wasn't uncommon for people to kind of write in the name of someone else.
Right.
But it really, I don't know, it kind of makes you think about the whole idea of authority.
Well, yeah, because in a way it was almost like, you know, we have ghostwriters today, but back then it was like, if you could claim that a really important figure like Paul actually wrote it, well, that would give your text a lot more weight.
Right.
and credibility. So especially if you were trying to use it to guide people's beliefs and practices.
Yeah. And I think that makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah.
But it definitely adds a kind of a layer of a complexity when you're reading it today.
For sure.
And especially when you get to some of the verses about women.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, 1 Timothy basically says that women should learn quietly and not teach or have any authority over men.
Right.
And it even uses the story of Adam and Eve as justification.
Yeah.
You know, Eve was created second, and she's the one who was tempted by the serpent in the Garden of Eden and all of that.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, isn't it? Because it really does kind of show how much things have changed,
right,
especially when it comes to, you know, gender roles and, you know, societal views on women.
Yeah, can you imagine trying to, like, apply those rules in a modern workplace?
I know, right?
Or even just, like, in a classroom, you know?
No, absolutely not.
But, you know, that's what I think makes these texts so interesting,
mm-hmm.
because you can really see how our understanding of gender roles and all of that has evolved over time.
Absolutely. It's fascinating to see that contrast.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And to trace that evolution.
And it makes you wonder, too, if the original message gets lost in translation.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit. But it's not just about women, right?
No, not at all.
1 Timothy also has some pretty strong opinions about wealth and material possessions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's that famous line about the love of money being the root of all evil.
Yeah, and that's something that definitely still resonates today.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, we can all see, you know, the problems with unchecked greed and materialism.
Totally. Okay.
But, you know, I think one thing that's interesting is that 1 Timothy doesn't really offer any practical advice.
Yeah, that's
for navigating all that, you know. Yeah. It's more of a general warning, you know.
Right. It's more like a moral compass, but not really a detailed map.
Exactly.
It's just like, be careful of this, but it doesn't really say how to be careful of it.
Yeah, exactly.
But it does, I don't know, it makes you stop and think.
Oh, for sure.
How those warnings might still be relevant today.
Absolutely. And how we can maybe reinterpret them for, you know, our modern lives. Yeah.
So another point that the analysis brings up is this focus on faith and conscience in 1 Timothy.
Okay.
And it warns against, you know, false teachings, but it doesn't actually define what those are.
Yeah, it's very vague, isn't it? And I think that's something that might be a little jarring to a modern reader.
Right.
Because, you know, today we really value critical thinking and open debate, you
know? Yeah.
We want people to question things
yeah.
and to challenge ideas and to engage
that's
in, you know, these healthy discussions, because that's how we move forward as a society, right?
Yeah.
So that difference in approach is another one of those things that really highlights that historical gap
Right.
That we need to keep in mind.
Right. Yeah, we're looking at it through a different lens now.
Absolutely.
And then there's the whole section on qualifications for church leadership.
Oh, right.
And 1 Timothy basically says that to be a leader, you have to be a man with a wife and kids.
Right, a very traditional.
Yeah, very traditional family structure.
Yeah.
And again, that's something that's hard to reconcile.
Very hard, yeah.
With modern ideas of inclusivity and diversity.
Absolutely. You know, nowadays we recognize that being a good leader has nothing to do with your gender or your family structure. It's about your character, your competence, your ability to lead.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, it's very interesting to see that contrast.
Yeah, because like looking back at, you know, what was considered the ideal back then.
Yeah, very much so.
And then the last point that kind of jumped out at me was that 1 Timothy doesn't really engage with science or the natural world at all.
Yeah, which, again, I mean, that was pretty common for ancient texts. But in today's world where we have all this scientific knowledge. And
right. It definitely stands out.
It does stand out. Yeah.
So after looking at all of these different points, I don't know, what are your kind of main takeaways here?
Well, I think it's clear that, you know, we can't just read a text like 1 Timothy literally.
Right.
We have to engage with it critically and take into account, you know, the historical context.
Absolutely.
And acknowledge that our thinking on a lot of these issues has evolved over time.
Yeah. It's almost like having a conversation across the centuries.
It really is. Yeah.
You know, we might not agree with everything, but it can still make us think differently about the world.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's the amazing thing about exploring these ancient texts is that even if they seem outdated on the surface, they can still offer these valuable insights and challenge our assumptions in a really powerful way.
Yeah, it just goes to show that ideas really do have enduring power.
They really do, yeah.
So keep questioning, keep exploring, and you never know what you might find.
Absolutely.
All right, well, that's it for this deep dive.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you next time.
This sounds good.
Bye.
Bye.